I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to C3 Church Global Podcast. This week we have the absolute honor, privilege, joy, and delight of talking with Paul DeYoung, who has pastored the Life Church in Auckland, New Zealand since 1991 with his wife, Marie. Welcome, Paul.
Great to be here. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, my Lord, over the last few years, you've been through some immense trials, and it's going to be so helpful for listeners to understand some of the victories that you've won and processes that you've been through to actually get to this point. But let's go back to the start of Life Church in 1991 with you and Marie. Tell us how that all started.
We were in Australia at the time. In fact, I had been in Australia for 10 years, born in New Zealand. Marie's an Australian, got a great Australian wife, and our three boys were born there. Actually thought we would be ministering in Australia and wider out from there for the rest of our lives. And then we just had this encounter with God, to be honest, in a trip back in New Zealand when we were on holiday. And it was just like, I felt like God said, would you go? Would you go back to New Zealand and start a church? And so I'm kind of one of those people that really embrace, if it's God, it's all in. And when I talked to my pastor at the time, and he said, no way. And I said, well, we won't go without your blessing. And he came back a few weeks, I think it was later, that said, look, even though I hate it, I think God is on this. And so, yeah, that's how we birthed Life. We went with a vision. Our senior pastor at the time said, look, we can't support you financially because we're in a big building project ourselves. And I said, well, if it's God, then we'll get a job and we'll just start and go for it. As you said, back in 1991 was when we birthed it, and had quite a few family in Auckland at the time, so I said I'd pay them to come to the first service, which wasn't quite true. But anyway, a lot of them did come, and we had 25 of us in total. I think that was with cats and dogs. But we birthed it with me on a guitar, because our guitarist dislocated his elbow on the Friday night before the first Sunday, and away we went.
And it was especially difficult for that pastor who you left, because you were the one who everybody looking on would have said, you're going to take over that church.
Yeah, well, he had actually talked to us about it, said, look, when the time comes, would you be open to it? To which we responded, well, if God's on it, we're on, you know, because that's the way we've always lived. Although felt like I didn't know that we would have the capacity for it. I could organize things. I just never thought I could ever pioneer a church or be the senior pastor. Right. But if it was God, we'd do it. So that's where it all began, really. So it was out of the blue, a real shock when we just knew God was saying, would you go? Would you go to New Zealand? It needs leadership. And would you go and do that?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it, that oftentimes to choose to do the will of God actually means choosing to not do something else, which can appear like a real opportunity. Yeah. And so it's not like there's only one choice and that's the will of God. Often there's several, and they may even appear to be better opportunities. Yeah. But obedience is always the key to the great blessing of God.
I think that's so true, Pastor Phil. In fact, I was just talking to somebody recently, and they're in a transition period. And I said, from my perspective, I've always tried to operate outside, and this sounds spiritual. And it is spiritual, I suppose, but you've got to base your decisions on the call of God. Mm. That's what's going to keep you through the greatest of trials and challenges. Mm. And if you're living a call rather than an opportunity, there's going to be grace that comes with that call. And it ultimately ends in peace, even in the worst of circumstances. But it has to be based. I think you know, if I can be bold enough, I'm Dutch, I think I'll do it. I think people make a lot of even kingdom decisions or church leadership decisions based on opportunity. Here's a great opportunity. Wow, look what we could get. And it's like, buddy, if you or ma'am, if you don't have the call of God as the foundation to what you're doing, I don't think you're going to jump the hurdles. And there is a grace for God promises he'll walk with us through what he's called us to do. And that's where the peace is, even in the most challenging of times.
Exactly. You've always been such a great kingdom person too, not just totally engrossed and engaged in your own church, but actually been far broader and encouraging and blessing and helping people as far away as Amsterdam. I know the certain church there that you've helped immensely, and he's a very good minister and brother, but he went through his own particular trials, and you've reached out beyond your own church, and possibly that's part of the reason your generosity of time and resources to others is why you actually ended up having the largest church in New Zealand. And it was that, and still is, possibly has been like that for quite some time. Tell us about growing a church to the size that it has become.
Yeah, well, I do think, and I've shared this many times with many leaders, I do think that we have to be kingdom spirited. God's about his kingdom. He doesn't look at us with a church title or name or denomination. He looks at us as his children. And so I say, you give your strong arm to what God's given you to do. Don't ever back off being, you know, up front and really standing strong and positive about who you are as a church or a denomination. So that's what you give your strong arm. But your left hand, if you put it in my terms, I'm right-handed, let that be all about the kingdom. So you need both to be in operation. And a lot of people are just about building their church, or I want the largest church. This is my church. It's not your church. It's his church. Yeah, be proud about what God's given you to do. So don't be silly about it, but at the same time, see it from a kingdom perspective. I would add to that, I think God can entrust and will entrust to the things he trusts. So if there's too much of me in it, I think we're already putting limiting factors on the church that we are ministering in. It's kind of, okay, God, if you want us to do it, we're all in. We're going to go for it. We'll do whatever you ask us to do. And so we have been blessed in New Zealand to see something happen that hasn't happened in the history of our nation. I think it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. I think greater excitement in our hearts, Marie and mine and the team, is what we can see God doing in the kingdom, how it's advancing globally through all of what God's doing.
It's amazing because all of New Zealand has been blessed through Life Church. I know many ministers who are touched, not just by the church, but by yours and Marie's personal investment into their lives and just being like a father and a mother, which is, I guess, where you're at right now. But the journey to that, I mean, you've had some pain and some real challenging life and death situations in recent years with cancer, and maybe you can talk us through how you did that as well as keep leading the church.
Well, I think, again, we've had time to think about that. I mean, the fact that I'm here today is an impossibility, medically speaking. Discovering just over 2 years ago that I had stage 4 terminal cancer, to which the top oncologist said, you'll have less than 3 months to live. And here we are over 2 years. I have some limitations. I've lost some of my vision in both eyes. I've been through, some people would say hell and back. I'm always a bit hesitant about that because hell's going to be a lot worse than anything we face here on earth. But I wouldn't wish it on anyone. Let me put it like that. But then I would say I wouldn't change it for anything because of the lessons learned. I think the greater our dependence is on God, the greater the level of revelation and clarity that you get about how God sees things rather than the way we see things. So, yeah, it's been a turbulent 2 years, but God has in every step of the journey. So the church life has been going for over 32 years. We were senior pastors for 32 years, started with nothing but a belief that God would raise something up that could really affect our nation and beyond. And to see that happen. But as you said, the challenges have been enormous. I mean, recent days, you know, things like building projects. I think we've had three or four major building projects. The latest building project was building a main auditorium in the central part of Auckland, which was in total an $80 million project with land and development, which for New Zealanders particularly, they don't like talk about money, don't like talk about leadership. Those two things are abhorrent even to Christians. And it's kind of like when we discovered that, we said, well, they'll be the two giants we go for, both the release of finance and good, strong leadership, not dominating leadership, but leadership that has a strength to fulfill what God's commissioned us to do. And so, yeah, the journey has been all over. We could talk about either parts of that. We could talk about what's recently happened with the medical journey, or we could talk about even one of the big building journeys. Up to you, Pastor Phil.
Well, let's talk about the medical one first. And how did you and the church respond when you first, and what steps did you take when you first learned of it?
Yeah, well, we found out it was completely unexpected. Had a push bike accident. Actually, I was doing quite a bit of fitness and came flying down a hill. And I ran headlong at about 35 kilometers an hour down this hill into a lady that opened her car door and stopped suddenly. Tore my rotator cuff and had cuts and bruises everywhere, and went into hospitalized. I was hospitalized because of concussion. So they began all of these tests with the concussion, thinking something severely has been damaged, to which they did some scans eventually and discovered that I had actually three brain tumors. One was 5 centimeters, one was 3 centimeters, and the other one was just a very minute blip on the scanning. And all of them were melanoma cancer. So 5 centimeters, 3 centimeters, that huge brain tumors, and some of that has destroyed some of the brain because of the surgeries. Two main brain operations, which the professionals, one brain surgeon said, I can't operate, this is inoperable. Somebody else said, I'll give it a go. I said, well, if you're prepared to give it a go, let's give it a go. We haven't got far to go medically speaking without that. So let's do that. And so that was the journey. As I said, I've lost vision. I've had, I think, 10 operations in the last 2 years. And they said if we did live through it, we would also be very challenged through it. Because not only was it in the brain, but it was right through the body, in my lungs, my liver, my adrenal glands. And so I was one of those impossible. They said, you can't survive that. And yet we started this journey straight away. We got all the elders, key leaders together to pray. And actually, I have been blown away. It's become a global prayer initiative of which hundreds of thousands of people have let me know that they are praying for us. And
incredible. It works because you're sitting here talking when the doctor said, no, you won't be. You'll be gone. But so you started taking chemo, I imagine?
No, it wasn't chemo. It was immunotherapy. Okay. So chemo it destroys every fast-growing cell. Yep. This is a new treatment, relatively new, called immunotherapy, which strengthens your own cells to fight the cancer. And so it's a fairly new thing, but it's having some great results. And people say, well, how come you got healed? And I said, well, there's three things. There's one is our absolute faith in a God that heals, but also a faith in a God that actually wants us to have his will before our own miracle. So we got to a point where we said, Father, if this means this is the end of my time here on earth and that's your purpose and you're going to use it for greater things, then we're up for it. So we processed our whole family, sat with each of our three boys for an hour each, talked about everything, tears, and we planned the funeral if that was going to be the case. And I don't see that as a lack of faith. I see it as strong faith to say, well, if the purpose of God is he's going to use us for a greater purpose and my time's up, we're up for that. If not, then he's going to allow us to live longer for a greater purpose. And I think sometimes we've preached a faith that is primarily centered on an outcome rather than the purpose of the Father. Jesus didn't want to die at 33, but he said, not my will, but your be. And that purpose was far greater than him remaining alive on earth. So, you know, you can swing on either pendulum, whereas I say, I think if we can get that middle ground, we can see more of the miraculous take place. And we're living testimonies of that through prayer, through faith, by faith. You know, we're both great believers and speakers and livers of faith that you can see mountains moved. And in this case, I think I've got a life, or Maria and I've got a life, to be able to bring faith into a clearer picture. And so we're not disappointed when we don't get the natural outcome we want, if there's a greater purpose that God's got.
Yeah, I think faith is not just about the outcomes, as you say. Couldn't agree more. I think faith is about living above an unanswered prayer.
Yeah.
Faith is living above an unresolved circumstance.
Having faith in God.
Yeah, it is. If you've got faith in God, you're like those three boys who the king said, we're going to throw you in the fire and let's see if your God can deliver you. And they said, well, we know he can, but if he doesn't, we're okay about that. And so, like you say, the will of God is supreme above everything. And it takes faith both ways to even stand for Christ and suffer the consequences, which they were. Yeah. And secondly, to believe God, he's going to bring me through this. We're going to get out the other side. So, well done, Paul. We're so proud of you and celebrating with you and thanking God for you, because you've got so much to bring to so many people around this planet, just in terms of leadership skills, the heart of a leader, and obviously now conquering one of man's worst enemies on earth today. So in terms of yourself, your own soul, going through this whole cancer thing, I know many people become quite melancholic, quite despairing, and reflective. How was your internal spiritual climate during this time?
In May 2024, we are gathering in Singapore for the Outpouring, our C3 Church Global Conference. I personally want to invite you to join with us in Singapore. We hear the sound of an enormous outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the next season for the church around the world. And you and I will be part of it, pouring our lives out on the altar together in Singapore. Every C3 church around the world will receive fresh fire and be renewed with fresh oil for a new day of increase across the whole earth. Young men and women from around the world being touched by God are seeing visions and declaring the future. This conference is open to the whole C3 family. Bring your pastors, leaders, board members, youth leaders, worship leaders, creative teams, business people, and influencers. This will be a historic breakthrough event. It's time for revival. Head to c3churchglobal.com to register.
There were many days where you felt like emotionally the battery had run out. When you've been laying awake four nights in a row without a minute's sleep, and you keep getting these bad reports that even if you get through the brain surgery, you'll have no mental ability. You know, so every day there was new things coming, knocking on the door saying you may as well give up. And it sounds funny, but I now understand how people do give up more than ever before, because you get to the edge. But I had to keep coming back and saying, God, well, what's the pathway that you've given me? And the first thing is to have complete faith in God. Second thing is to get the best outside help you can. So I would say with my cancer journey, it's the medical treatment. Find out as much as you can. Don't see that as a lack of faith. That's faith. God's given the people that have developed that the ability to do it. And then thirdly, you have to make a decision to stay positive. So therefore, I became very positive about, if my time's up, God's going to use this for an ongoing testimony of his goodness, grace, and power. And we're going to see an avalanche of the supernatural as a result. I said, God, one thing I'm asking for, if my time is up, that there'll be an avalanche of the supernatural, to which I felt the Holy Spirit come back and say, to receive that, there are lessons to be learnt. Like, we all want large churches. We all want great breakthrough in ministry. But if I could say anything from a senior pastor's heart to another senior pastor, is your greatest challenge and difficulty right now is possibly God's learning point for you. So don't see it as a negative. Say, what do I need to learn and shift and change for that?
Beautiful.
You know, so like,
fantastic.
If the problem in the nation is leadership, you know, people don't want to listen to leaders, or they don't, they sort of denounce leadership and finance, let's go for that sucker and get God's word on and see a change in that. And yeah, we'll have people oppose, but you've got to be big enough in spirit to go, if God gave it to me, I'm called for this, therefore I'm graced, as I said before, and we can see
God's
work. Yeah.
What's the current report on your health?
So we actually just a week and a half ago had the latest MRI and PET scan. So they checked the brain, they checked the body. And as has been the case now for the previous scans and this one, I have no detectable active cancer in my body.
Fantastic.
There is no active cancer in the brain, in the lungs, liver, adrenal glands. There are what they call cold, the areas where they can see where it was, it's gone cold. So they won't call it no cancer. But of course, for us, we've been healed from something that medically they said could not happen.
Now, that's an absolute, utter, verified, authentic miracle. Yeah. Right there. Absolutely wonderful. So an outcome of that period of time, well, maybe it was already planned as well, was that Luke, your son, transitioned into leading Life Church.
Yeah.
So how's that gone, the transition?
It's phenomenal. And I mean, it's easy for a dad to say it's phenomenal. But I think I call things for what they are. I'm very honest. Luke and I are very honest. We have that relationship. We always have been. And a lot of people think because I got cancer 2 years ago, or just over 2 years ago, we made the decision to transition. That decision was made 5 years ago, because I have always felt that transition in the church has not been done well. It's been done last minute. It's been done so unplanned, or there's been no pathway. So 5 years ago, the whole team that walks with us, the top and, you know, everybody that we trust said, we know who the next leader will be when it happens. It's going to be Luke. We already had that in our heart. But Marie and I both felt we're not going to be the ones making that announcement unless others come and talk to us about it. Not that you have to do that, but that's the way we wanted to do it. And they started saying, we know who it'll be. So we made the decision 5 years ago that it would be exactly the same year that it's taken place. So it's not been brought on by cancer. And so that 5 years of actually passing things over to Luke earlier than needed. And I've always believed you shouldn't transition when you're ready as the senior pastor. You should transition when the next leader is ready.
Yeah, good. Great words. Well, and now you're released to be speaking at other churches. And we met recently in Tauranga in a hotel by accident. You were at one church, I was at another. And who would have thought it, that we're going to catch up in such a, you know, down the other end of the earth. And it is. It's always a delight to see you, Paul. Hey, just one thing I have always admired about you and your approach to ministry is that you have been quite businesslike in approaching we all know that church is not a business, and we're not in it for the bottom line of profit or anything like that. We're in it for a variety of other reasons that culminate in the salvation of lost people and the transformation of people's lives and the building of Christ's kingdom. But given that, there are a certain element of business that we have to be engaged in. And I've watched you do that excellently and quite profitably for the church, so that it actually has generated income to the point of, like you say, you've been able to put up an $80 million building, which is world-class, state-of-the-art building for the church right there in the center of Auckland. So just your philosophy on that, your thinking around that, because I know some pastors are a tad ginger and timid about this area.
I think, like I said, everything that we do as servants of Christ, it needs to be based around a call. So I would say spirit. Without spirit, you have nothing. You can have all of the excellence, mm-hmm. you can have all the strategies, you can have all the podcasts in the world, but until you have a connection of spirit and heart, and many people come into the ministry with a sense that God wants us to do this and wants to do something, and so our spirit is engaged. But I've always mm-hmm. taught you need spirit and structure. The two must work together. Mm-hmm. They are both important. And so if you can't manage your own life, if you can't manage a family, you're not going to build a wider community. And so our churches will often level at the level of not just our call and sense that God wants us to do it, but also our ability to structure that. The bigger it gets, the more you've got to develop your ability. And you might, people listening today might say, well, look, I've got a real connection with God and I feel a real call with that. But the bigger something gets, the more important it is to have structure that can hold what God is birthing. So you can get a great Sunday, but never build a great church, because mm-hmm. there has to be that capacity to build the structure equal to the size of what you believe God's calling you to and building. And so if you're not, many people pastor churches as a pastor because they love people. But then, mm-hmm. and they do well one-on-one with people, but they never build anything significantly that continues to grow because it fails to support what's in their heart. And if you don't have that business ability, if you don't have that structural understanding, you need people alongside you that don't take the authority of the leadership off you, but are walking with you to make sure that's implemented. And you, if you're not wired that way, need to listen to that. Oh, well, God told me this, God told me that. Yeah, well, that's great. If God told you, then it's going to manifest in evidence. If it's not manifesting in evidence, then maybe we need to take a step back and look at what we need to change and get some help, like you're doing, Pastor Phil. Like I will do more of as well. It's just like call for help and let's talk about things. Yeah. Let's get outside of just the preaching platform and let's get on the building platform.
Yeah, I've always believed in staffing my weaknesses. Yeah. And that maybe is why I've got such a large staff.
Yeah. Yeah. And very expensive. So you need a revelation of money.
Yeah. No, well, no, I appreciate those. That is such good counsel, such good wisdom, Paul. And from a distance, we are looking on with great admiration and happiness that you are on the other side of that immense trial, because your voice is so needed. It would seem in the world today that the fathers in the faith have been under a lot of attack.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't seem like there's a lot who are actually still standing in some areas. I mean, I'm praying for a strong finish for myself and for men like you and other great men of God around the world. And I do see there is a rising tide of new voices like fathers, but it is such a desperate need for young men and young ministers, young men and women around the world to just have some anchors out in the future that they can look at and see Paul and Marie de Jong, man, look at them and look at their marriage, look at their strength of heart and their beautiful attitude after all they've been through. And so thank you, Paul, for staying the course and running the race and finishing so well. Well, not that you're finished, but getting to this point so well.
And thank you to you and Chris, because again, it's a team, isn't it? We work together. We're gifted a difference and we've got to be big enough, all of us, to understand how that works, but then just keep building and keep learning. I think this new season for me has revealed the deeper you go, the more clarity you get and an insight that you've never had before as far as revelation is concerned. So never stop learning. Never. If you ever go, well, I don't need help or I'll do it on my own, you're already a loser, if I can put it like that, because you've got to keep learning and keep saying, God, you'll use this. I've always believed if I stay alive, it's for a greater purpose.
So if people wanted to get Paul de Jong or Paul and Marie de Jong to come speak in their church, where would they contact?
Just contact the church office here at Life. And my PA is Sarah Walton. Just email her, sarah.walton@lifenz.org. There you go. Some of my brain's working.
Perfect.
And we'll help wherever we can and do what we can. I currently can't read fluently, but I'm about to finish a book called But God, which is going to be the 32-year journey of the but God moments. They had to be God, you know. And so if we can Fantastic. Help in any way, then, hey, we're up for it.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Paul, for being on with us today. It's such a delight. And we're praying and believing with you for a brilliant future. God bless you.
Thanks, Pastor Phil.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.